Good morning. Thank you for having me with you. It's always a pleasure and a privilege that I don't take lightly. And I do feel this morning that that God's got something for us. He's got something for me. He's had something for me. And well, without any additional embellishment, I'm just going to get right into it. I brought a golf club up here this morning. It's kind of an object to illustrate that I love golf. And you know, you guys have even seen me, I think, out on security swinging it, and I guess it could also be a weapon if something were to go wrong, right? But it's just something I love. I love the game of golf. My father introduced me to golf when I was a young boy, and I grew up playing with him and with my brother. We all grew up playing ice hockey and baseball, too, but I was always drawn to golf. And I took to it more as a teenager, and I got to take lessons, and I ended up joining the golf team from my high school. I was the varsity captain, and I was always practicing, like, always practicing. My parents, my mom, would take me to the driving range in the dead of winter, and I'd be hitting buckets of balls at the net with gloves on. And it wasn't just when I was on a course at a match that I'd be on the course. I was at the range, or I'd be in the putting green working on my game, and when I was home, I'd be swinging a club in the living room, and I've broken some fan fixtures in the past. I've swung clubs outside near the shed, and grass still won't grow where I just took earth out of the ground for hours. Sorry, Mom. I just couldn't get enough of the game. I loved it. I loved it. And, you know, rolling in a putt to make birdie, hitting a driver long and straight, those of you who golf, you get it. The feel in my hands, the sound of the ball hitting the bottom of the club, I get happy just thinking about it. And golf kept me in pretty good shape too, believe it or not. You wouldn't think so, but I always walked the course because I was either too young or too broke to get a cart. So I was always walking. And I got away from golf when I went to college. You know, schoolwork, job, obligations, gained a few pounds back. I played a handful of times in those years, but I never really enjoyed it. I ended up frustrated on the course because my swing was off from not practicing, or I would just get bothered by all kinds of disturbances. I'd get mad about the bugs or blame it on the heat, and I'd play horrible. And I totally forgot about my love of golf. I did. Fast forward a bunch of years later, when one of my good buddies decided to take up the game of golf, and you know, we get to talking about it, and he learned that I used to play. He started to ask me questions, and I began to share what I knew about the game of golf with him. You know, how to grip the club, of course. Again, those of you who play know, you know, the right posture, the fundamentals to the game. He asked me to come to the range with him, and I went. So I went to the shed and, you know, blew the dust off the clubs. We went to the range, and he hit some balls, and I started giving him some pointers, and, you know, I get a little jealous, so I want to start demonstrating as well. So I start hitting balls myself, and you know, I made some good swings. I guess I still had it. You know, but quickly I became overwhelmed with all those same feelings and memories that I enjoyed as a boy. We went to the range again and again after that, then to the course, and soon it became a regular thing. And the more time I spent practicing and playing, the better I got. Mosquitoes and heat didn't seem to bother me as much. The distractions didn't seem to get at me. And I got stirred up about the game of golf and remembered all the reasons that I loved it. Love it. Present tense. And then fast forward to date, I'm back in solid form. I've actually lost quite a bit of weight. Some of you have noticed that, which I appreciate. And I'm grateful to my buddy who stirred me up to the game of golf and brought it back into my life, reminding me of all the reasons I love it, all of its benefits. And as I read through Psalm 103, I was reminded of these reasons and benefits of why I love golf, but I also got to thinking about my relationship with Jesus and about the times where I failed to recognize all the reasons I have to bless him. I failed to recognize his benefits, times where I let distractions take my focus off of the Lord. Then I was reminded of David, the author of this psalm, and his relationship with the Lord. We've heard some about in this series already. Scholars agree that David not only wrote this psalm, but that he did so in the later stages of his life. After all of his triumphs and all of his failures, After spending portions of his life in obedience and praise to the Lord, and after times he had forgotten all the reasons to bless him and had become distracted by lesser things. David cautions us and reminds us in this passage to bless the Lord, and then goes on to list the reasons why. Psalm 103 paints this picture of all that God has done for us, his kindness, his goodness, his mercy, a lot of which we sung about this morning, which I loved. His kindness, his goodness and mercy for all time. And my hope today is that despite times we have allowed ourselves to be distracted, despite our mistakes and failures, that we remember that we have so many reasons to bless the Lord. The ones David writes about, which we're going to talk about here this morning, and so many more. So I'm going to read for you. We're not going to handle all of Psalm 103. I'm going to get the first five verses for us this morning. So let me read that for you today. Psalm 103, verses 1 through 5. And you can see on the screen, actually, it's not on the screen, but there's an exclamation point in my version. So hope you didn't bring your earplugs. You might need them for just a second. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Let me pray once more this morning. Heavenly Father, my ask this morning is that you would put aside all distractions for me, for my family. God, I ask that you would speak clearly. Holy Spirit, that you would work through me this morning, Lord, not for my sake, but for the sake of your word having full effect this morning. God, silence all distractions. Please. And Jesus, I ask that you would speak to your people as you have spoken to me. In your name, amen. Let's jump right in. Verses 1 and 2, I'm going to reread them one more time. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. That phrase, O my soul, this was a common way for someone to speak to themselves back in the day. That's right. I said, speak to yourself. David, he's just like you and I. He talks to himself. Sometimes it's good to have a little chat with yourself, amen? Yeah? All right. It makes me think of that old Ray Stevens song, which I got a clip for you this morning. Have a little talk with myself. Jam. If you haven't heard it, look it up. It's got a good feel to it. It's okay to dance in church. But even the words in that song, a little attitude correction, a little soul search and inspection. That's what David's doing here. It's exactly what it made me think of. This is exactly what David's doing. He's having a little talk with himself. He is stirring himself up. It's a good thing to stir yourself up. He's directing us to the Lord because of all of his benefits. Bless the Lord, O my soul. He's quite literally speaking to his soul, the deepest part of who he is. And he's saying, soul, bless him. He's exhorting his soul, bless him, soul. Bless the Lord for all he has done. David is saying the same thing to us. There are so many reasons to bless the Lord, and all those reasons, all of them benefit us. David continues by telling us how. So why should we praise the Lord? For his forgiveness and healing, verse 3. Who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases. We sang about it this morning. Church, if you are in the family of God, if you're in God's family, your sins are forgiven. Andrews was praying about it. I'm not gonna fly over that real quick. I'm gonna say it one more time for us. If you're in the family of God, if you are in the family of God, if you are God's son or daughter, your sins are forgiven. The punishment for your sin is paid. You didn't earn it. You can't. You didn't deserve it. You don't. But Jesus loves you like crazy. And if you're questioning whether you're in the family of God, come talk to me after service. If that's a thought in your head, come talk to me. But the Lord forgives us and heals all our diseases. How many of you would say that the Lord has healed you from some sort of sickness or ailment? Yeah, I see a few hands. And that's one of the reminders I wanted to give us this morning. If you're a follower of Christ, when I ask that question, your hand should be up. You know why? David puts these two verses together for a reason, or these two phrases, rather, together for a reason. Sin is a disease. Say it again. Sin is a disease. It's a disease that we need healing from. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 5 reads, "But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed." Sin is a disease. It is. And it has horrible side effects. It is a disease for which we need healing, and Jesus is the cure. In Christ, we are healed from the curse and chains of sin. Romans 6 says it like this in verses 14 and 18. "For sin will have no dominion over you. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under the law, but under grace. And having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness." Jesus gives each and every one of us an opportunity to have the curse of sin broken in our lives and the effects of sin removed. Freedom, forgiveness, this spiritual healing, this restoration in verse 3 is a benefit from the Lord. Someone say amen. Amen. The Lord also heals us of physical ailments. I don't want to just breeze over that part. Some of you have by raising hands, shared that Jesus has done that in your life. But others of you are wondering why Jesus hasn't healed you. If you were honest with me this morning, if you were honest with yourself, you're wondering why Jesus hasn't healed you. Some of you are really struggling. I talked to you. We talked to each other. Some of you are really struggling physically, emotionally, spiritually. And this morning, again, if you were honest, you're questioning the credibility of David's words when he says that the Lord heals all your diseases. John Piper, a pastor and theologian, says that Dr. Jesus has a special fondness for the homeliest, the weakest, and the sickest patients in his care. God is drawn to the hurting. The broken, the poor, the exiled. He sees their hunger, even if they don't. He sees their need. Jesus is not partial to the healthiest or most spiritual looking among us. I love this. I hope you hear me. John Piper writes, quote, "A pastor is just a convalescing cripple that the doctor, Jesus, has assigned to teach others how to use the crutches of grace." Isaiah 25, 7 and 8 says that he will swallow up on this mountain the covering that is cast over all people, the veil that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever, and the Lord will wipe away tears from all faces, and the reproach of his people he will take away from the earth. I'm not telling you something you don't already know, but we live in a world broken by sin and filled with great chaos. for those of you suffering, Jesus can heal you. And he will heal you. I said Jesus will heal you. That may happen in this life, or it will happen in eternity with him. But it will happen. And this is also something I believe the Lord wants you to hear this morning, that your suffering, in whatever capacity it's happening, and whatever way it's happening, it's not meaningless. Your suffering is not meaningless. It's producing something in you. Dr. Jesus has you on a particular therapy plan to make you well, particular to you, which is why a personal relationship with Jesus is so important. I said, that's why a personal relationship with Jesus is so important. We need to continue to learn to use the crutches of grace and learn how to use the crutches of grace together in order to stir each other up as a community to continue blessing the Lord for his forgiveness, breaking the curse of sin, making us well, and restoring order in our lives. And as if this is not enough, the Lord not only removes our sickness and forgives us, he provides for us. Verse 4, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy. David tells us to bless the Lord for his care and provision. Jesus pulls us up from a pit. He rescues us, and he gives us a crown of his love and mercy. He pulls us, certainly pulled me, from the sewers and slums of our sin and invites us to join his royal family. This is a Cinderella story. The slipper fits. At our lowest, in our sin, Christ loved us, had mercy on us, and then lavishes his goodness on us so that we are completely satisfied. And then David starts talking about birds here. Which, it really is one of those phrases that if you weren't paying attention, you could kind of fly over. That's a pun. You could fly over this verse. But David says that in his care and provision of the Lord, we will be so satisfied that we will be like a young eagle. Verse 5, who satisfies you with good so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. This confused me, to be honest with you. It struck me, and I did a little research on eagles. I didn't know much about them, and I learned that eagles are apex predators. I didn't know that. They're the top of the food chain. Nothing hunts them. They're the strongest birds on earth. They're really, really cool. But even with these facts, I still didn't really understand what David was saying. But I discovered that like most birds, eagles molt once a year. They shed their feathers, and in that process, in this molting process, there is pain. There is discomfort. There's limitation. Listen, they can't fly at maximum speed or fly as far as they otherwise could. But at the end of the molting process, they're like a brand new bird. See where I'm going with this? One article says it this way: an eagle's fresh plumage is strong and has no imperfections. This allows them to soar through the air without much effort at all. This is when an eagle will fly at its greatest speeds. Charles Spurgeon writes commentary on this passage, and it's worth the direct quote because he says it better than I ever could. The psalmist was so restored to his former self that he grew young again and looked as vigorous as an eagle whose eye can gaze upon the sun and whose wing can mount above the storm. The diseased one is so healed and strengthened that he became as full of energy as the bird, which is the strongest of the feathered race, most fearless, most majestic, and most soaring. The Lord works marvelous changes in us, and we learn by such experiences to bless his holy name. Thus is the endless chain of grace complete. Sin is forgiven, its power subdued, and penalty averted. And then we are honored, supplied, and our very nature renovated until we are as newborn children in the household of God. Amen. As I said, nothing hunts eagles, but the only bird that really takes a shot at the eagle is the crow. Watch.
I'm told that the only bird that would attack an eagle is a crow. When the crow attacks an eagle, he's not really attacking the eagle as much as just pecking on his back, really annoying him. But that makes sense, because when you look at the difference between a crow and an eagle, you begin to see why. When was the last time you've seen a large flock of eagles? Then when was the last time you've seen a large flock of crows? Crows hang together. Crows make an awful lot of noise. Crows want to be heard. Crows are scavengers. They'll eat whatever, including garbage. As a matter of fact, they love trash. Leave your trash out. If there's a crow around, he'll be in it, but not an eagle. An eagle's desires are refined. He won't consume just anything. However, a crow will. Crows are antagonistic, but the eagle, once that crow is pecking on his back, can do one of two things. Obviously, killing it, but in most cases, that eagle is not even that concerned. The eagle will then turn and do what is natural to him, take flight. And if that crow is still on his back trying to peck or trying to fly with him, then the eagle will just simply do what comes natural. The eagle will soar and soar and reach a height to where, one, the crow cannot continue to fly, and if he happens to be hanging on, he cannot breathe. He cannot handle the higher heights. The crow is typically relegated to the ground, whereas the eagle's natural domain is to be in the air, soaring. Even with the way the eagle soars, notice how the eagle can glide. He is strong enough, as well as majestic, to just catch the wind and glide. Crows don't glide. Crows have to flap and flap and flap. Crows do an awful lot of moving and make an awful lot of noise. When was the last time that you heard an eagle? However, you've heard a crow often, especially when they get in bunches. Crows tend to want to be seen. They tend to want to be heard, but not eagle. Whenever there's something going on in an urban area, you'll find crows. You don't find eagles in those same places. Why? Because an eagle's concerns are higher than a crow's.
A lot of mms. See, the reality is that we all live this life of molting. And at times we experience incredible pain, physical, emotional, spiritual. And perhaps you feel limited because of the brokenness of this world and this molting that tries to creep into your soul, paralyze you. And it always seems that we have crows pecking at our backs, making noise, flapping, antagonizing us. And we run into this tension that we want to escape and overcome the attacks of the crows, but our molting restricts us. But it doesn't have to. Are you finding satisfaction in the Lord? Are you a young eagle? Are you remembering who God is and what he's done? If not, David has a stirring message for you. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord with everything you have. Do not forget about all that he has done for you. His goodness, his mercy, the power of his love, and so much more. We have thousands of reasons to bless him.